हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So then continuing in Mahabharata, now we're on the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna has made his point that, you know, the elements of, you know, family consideration and being the nice guy and you know, not wanting to create trouble and all that, which are nice activities if you're, you know, if it's part of your duty, it's part of your ashram aspects. But here we're dealing with the varna aspects, so he's a kshatriya, and they have duties to do. They have to rule a country. They have to see that people who are not proper or suitable are not given posts that they shouldn't be in, because they'll just create trouble for everybody. You know, just like you say, well, Duryodhana, you know, kshatriya, he knows how to manage. But right now he's managed to get, you know, basically all the leaders of the world to get her on the battlefield just to keep him on the throne. And, you know, by battle, then, you know, there's a possibility they'll all be killed. So how does that make him a good leader? So that's the whole point. You have to have someone like Yudhishthira. So he's been bewildered, and so therefore then he understood that he can't understand what to do. Krishna being the Supreme Lord, he'll know. And so then he asked him to please give some direction. Arjuna understood that Krishna was reassuring him that his beloved relatives would not be the losers. By killing their bodies, Arjuna would free them from the pain and suffering brought on by their present karma. They would then be given a new start and a better body, probably in the higher planets. But Arjuna worried about the celestial weapons he would use, fearing they might somehow hurt even the soul. Krishna answered that doubt. There is no weapon, be it fire, wind, or water, that can damage or cut the soul. The soul is unchanging and impervious to all material effects. The soul is described in the Vedas as invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. The body is only the outward dress of the indestructible soul. Right? So the living entities, then they live according to their karma, their previous activities, then they'll get a specific body in any of the 8,400,000 species. And so in this case, then they're in the human position. Sometimes it's thought, oh, the souls come into existence, or the souls can be destroyed, or this or that. But no, the souls are eternal. They're part of Krishna's eternal energies, and so they are also eternal. And so just it's a matter of what is the position at present. There are those souls who have understood their position and their relationship with the Lord, and then maintained an eternal position of transcendence. While then others, like ourselves in the material world, we've ignored that, and so we've come here, and then based on our karma in previous lives, that gives us what life we're in now. So it's being pointed out that you're not going to kill the soul. So the person you say is, you know, Drona or Bhishma, that's the living entity, but you identify them as that because of the body. And then they'll leave this body, they'll go on to something else, and they'll be something different. And now, you know, they're elder and this and that, whatever is there, they'll go, they'll be in a younger body and this. And that's not the saying that, oh, you can just go out and kill people and go, oh, but now they get a young body. The point is that it's their duties as kshatriyas to fight. And so his point in performing your duty, if they live, then you have that relationship, and if they die, they'll go on to a better position, because it's a religious, you know, properly established, how you say, principle of duty and things like that, and so therefore then there'll be no loss. Arjuna remained silent. Even knowing Bhishma and Drona to be eternal souls, he still grieved at the prospect of their death. Krishna had already instructed him that such distresses were unavoidable and had to be tolerated, but it would not be easy. Because in the material world, if you're born, you will die. So the purpose of human life is to solve that problem of this repeated birth and death, and then try to come to the transcendental platform by surrendering to the Lord. Then in that surrender position, then when one leaves the body, then thinking of the transcendental Lord, one goes to that place. One transcends karma and goes to the spiritual world. There, then, one will live eternally with the Lord. Then there is no birth and death. that life goes on eternally. But here, then it means whatever it is, everybody will die. So even Hiranyakashipu tried for eternal life. He went to Brahma, but Brahma said, even I'll die. When his, the end of the universe is the end of his life. And so they'll all die. So if you're born here, you will die. And so if you find that to be a problem, since the soul thinks in terms of eternality, then take up the spiritual process. Come to the transcendental position. Cultivate your relationship with the Lord. Because he's Mukunda. He can actually give eternal liberation. These other methods by yoga and by knowledge and renunciation, you can may possibly get some temporary relief. But you can't get eternal, because the soul being Sat, Chit, and Ananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, you have to deal with, address all three. So if you're just looking for liberation, you're only dealing with Sat, eternality. Because even they say, the Brahman, it's unlimited, it's eternal, it's this and that, unchanging. They're only dealing with the existence aspect of the soul and the Lord. Paramatma means now you're looking at the one who controls all the energy. So you're looking at Chit to some degree, but not fully. So that means, but you're not dealing with the full aspect and not with Ananda. So only when you deal with Bhagavan, where the Lord is a person, then you see Sat Chit Ananda. Then you can go to the spiritual world and in a spiritual body of Sat Chit Ananda, then live eternally in wonderful transcendental pastimes with the Lord. Krishna smiled affectionately at his friend. Even if you believe the self to be the same as the body, you still have no reason to lament, O mighty armed hero. The body is matter, and material objects are always being created and destroyed. But wise men laments for the inevitable changes to matter that are wrought by time. Whatever you believe, the effects of time cannot be checked. Death follows birth, and birth follows death in due course. Simply perform your duty without lamentation, for you cannot change the course of time, which is ultimately the cause of everyone's death. Right, so the soul will always be in a position. And so in this body, the body is constantly changing. Right? It means that every moment the different cells are changing, and that there's four kinds of destruction. So one of them is the constant destruction that's always going on. By time, everything's changing. And so then the body that one has, that is aging as it is. You can say, no, but I'm the same. No, your consciousness, you're the same. But your body's been changing ever since your birth. And even when you're conceived, it's changing all the way through. You know, then you're born, and you have that baby's body, then the toddler's body, then the young boy's body, then the adolescent, then the teen, then like this. It just keeps going. So the living entity, the body's constantly changing. But you think it's the same because of the singular connection of consciousness. So at death, we change bodies. We continue that process. When this body gets too old to use, you change to a new body. But at that point, then you don't remember this one. And so then you'll see that one as that continuity. So that's the difference. Krishna, he knows all his avatars and all the pastimes he's performed, because he's one person. He's eternal and his form is eternal. But because we change bodies, that's why even though the soul is eternal, the identity is with the body. So when the body's lost, then all those impressions and that are also lost. Right? The direct aspects. The indirect goes with the subtle body, with the mind. So mind, intelligence, false ego. That subtle body goes with the living entity. But it's only when, at the point of liberation, that subtle body's left and you just function, therefore, in your pure spiritual form. Arjuna reflected on Krishna's words. It was difficult to comprehend the soul's existence. That it was undying and indestructible had been made clear, but its actual nature remained a mystery. Without pausing, Krishna concluded his instructions about the soul. Those who know the soul consider him amazing. He is described in the Vedas as amazing. Even persons who have heard all the descriptions of the soul still fail to understand him at all. Nevertheless, O descendant of Bharata, he cannot be slain at any time. Therefore, give up your useless grief for your relatives. Krishna changed back and began to address Krishna's fear that he would be tainted by sin if he killed his elders. You are a Kshatriya, Arjuna, and it is thus your foremost duty to fight according to religious principles. You should not hesitate. Rather, you should embrace this opportunity, for it opens the way to heaven for you. If you do not fight, you will incur sin for neglecting your duty. Right? So if you do a wrong action, that's vikarma, or impious activities. You do a right action, that is pious activities, or karma. But you can also, there's an aspect of non-performance of duties. It means you have the opportunity to do and you don't do. So that itself will give a bad reaction. Because then where people should do their duty, you know, it won't happen. And so therefore you'll be in situations, why isn't anybody doing what they're supposed to? Because in you previously in a situation you're supposed to, you do nothing. So it's also, it gives a bad result. So only the proper performance of your duty gives a good result. And that's still temporary because it's connected with the gross and subtle bodies. But when you perform transcendental duties connected with the Supreme Lord, that takes you through to the transcendental platform. If you do not fight, you will incur sin for neglecting your duty. Thus, you will lose your good reputation. You will become infamous, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. No one will think you desisted from fighting out of compassion. They will think you fled in fear and will thus lose their respect for you. What could be more painful than that? Because when you're dealing with people who themselves aren't in proper consciousness, they're just going to always think the worst. So Duryodhana, he already thinks he's 16 times better than Arjuna. So if Arjuna then doesn't fight, even though he may be doing it out of compassion, but it will not be seen that way. And they're Kshatriyas, so compassion is not applied in this situation. If he was a Brahmin, then you might consider it, but they're Kshatriyas. Hearing his commitment to his warrior duties challenged, Arjuna shifted uncomfortably. The thought that he might be acting sinfully was painful, and the loss of his good reputation would be intolerable. Krishna continued, right? Because he was thinking, I'm being the good guy. He says, no one will see you as the good guy. They'll see you as a coward. You saw the big army? Like even before, Duryodhana said, when we go out in the morning and array our troops, when Yudhishthira and the Pandavas come out and see our troops, at that point they may give up the desire to fight because they'll just see it's too big, we can't do this. So if he does this now, they'll just say, see, we were so much more powerful. And then when will he be able to adjust that? And as a Kshatriya, your reputation is very, very important because people have to trust that what you said you'll do, you know, you always work for good, you're always there to do the right thing at the right time. So here, he wasn't doing, they'll just say he was a coward. In this battle, there are two possibilities. You will either be killed and thus attain heaven, or you will defeat your enemies and win the earth. Therefore, fight with determination. This too is my desire. O Partha, fight because it is your duty. Fight without thought of happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory, defeat. In this way, you will never incur sin. So human life is based on that there's certain duties to do. And when you do them without the desire for gain or loss, you know, you're not seeing that, or happiness or distress, that then purifies the living entity and is able to elevate the consciousness. Right? Means if you're performing your duties, but you have desire for gain and affected by loss, then the consciousness won't be elevated. It's pious, no doubt, but it won't be elevated. Right? And so then, because when we say elevation, we mean brought to the transcendental platform. You won't solve the problems of birth and death. So then that's the whole point, is then you have to be doing your duties. Where are the duties? The duties are described in Shastra. Right? So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are defining these. And then we perform our duties without that attachment. Then that brings us to the spiritual platform. But now we'll see, now he's mentioned this up to this point, but as you see the Gita goes, Krishna will say this again and again. But then he'll start to end in remembering him and to please him. Right, so then that will bring you from the material, you know, up to the spiritual by performing duties without attachment. And then that will take you further into the transcendental, into the devotional. Arjuna felt his heart opening as he absorbed Krishna's instructions. Krishna had countered his fears that he would suffer and become sinful by fighting. Actually, it would be sinful not to fight. I have told you some existential truths about the soul, O son of Kunti. Listen now as I speak about working with desire for the results, and thus without entangling yourself in karmic reactions, without desire for the results. Okay, this is the path to liberation, right? So when you perform your duties without attachment, right, then you become purified of that. And then if you have that knowledge, that will take you further. When it's done thinking of Krishna, then further. And to please Krishna, that will bring you to the topmost platform. This is the path to liberation. Once you are on this path, you will not fall back again into the abyss of material existence. Those on this path only desire to serve the Supreme and are resolute in performing their religious duties. Those who seek worldly happiness, however, are constantly overwhelmed by diverse temptations. Right? So if you're fixed in your religious duties to please the Lord, then you're always stable and steady, and everything moves forward very nicely. And so then, because you're seeing that the duties that you're performing, in this case Arjuna as a Kshatriya, these are secondary duties. The main is as the soul serving the Lord. And then as the soul being embodied, then what are the duties of that particular body? Then as a Kshatriya he performs those activities. So then that will bring about the benefit he's looking for. So you'll be elevated, there'll be no reactions. But if you're interested in the results, then the problem is the desire for the results becomes greater than the desire to perform the religious activity. Because the religious activity is only to get the results, but because of the results, the desire, the greed and all that, you get overwhelmed and you may get distracted from performance of duties. But when performance of duties are being just done to please the Lord, then the duties have that value in as much as they support your serving the Lord. And if you ever get to the point where you're fully absorbed in love of Krishna, your local duties here may not be as important. And so then you can be completely absorbed in the Lord. Only unintelligent men are attracted to those sections of the Vedas that speak about material happiness. Desiring sensual pleasures, opulence, and power, they think there is nothing more to life. They become bewildered by such desires and cannot fix their minds upon yoga practice. Do not let yourself be attracted by anything in this world. O Partha, be free from all the dualities of happiness and distress. Established in the self, give up your anxiety for material gain and safety. Because the gain and safety is for the body, and it's for the benefits that you'll get and all this. At some point, those will be lost. Right? Either just by karma and that they eventually wane, or you'll leave the body and leave them all behind. In any case, you will lose them. And so that therefore is saying why the soul who's eternal, why he should be so worried about temporary things. You take care of them, right? Because you have a body, you take care of it so you can perform your direct duties. But to make that the all in all, that you completely forget the actual transcendental duties, then that's foolish. Arjuna could understand that his earlier arguments were aimed only at material happiness. Although he had argued on the strength of Vedic morality, it was becoming clear he had not fully understood the Vedas and their ultimate aim, their higher principles and truths. Krishna continued to explain them. Right? So you have that the Vedas, the Upanishads described in five levels of consciousness. So Anamaya, the lowest level, that's then where it's about sensual perception and fulfilling the desires of the senses. And so that's, you see, is common with the animals, with the uncivilized and with civilized human beings. That's common to everybody. But then the problem comes is that even you're on that platform, you're civilized and you've developed in science and art and you know this kind of knowledge, the sensual perceptive knowledge. You know, like we learn in the modern academies and all this. Then the problem comes is that it's about yourself. It's not about anybody else. So it's non-theistic and it is non-moral. It's just what's good for you. If it's good for you, you do it. If it's not good for you, you don't do it. Right? It may seem that we're moral. Oh, but he doesn't bother other people, doesn't steal. But that's only because he knows that if he steals, it gets a bad result for himself. Not that he cares about the other person. He's only not stealing because it'll be bad for him. So then the second level of consciousness, then pranamoy, then that's the aspect of appreciating morality. But then this is again just social economic morality that's not non-theistic. It's just how the society can work together. So you're being scientific and arts and that, but if we all cooperate together, we can get even more. So it means more sense gratification. So it's the same principle, just adding morality that you can extend it a little bit. Right? Third level is then you're accepting the laws of God, the laws of nature, and you understand that the Lord, the world has an inherent order, and that if you follow that and perform your duties, then you'll get the material benefits you're looking for. You know, to that degree, you do your work well. Fourth level means then you're going to understand that you have to base everything like what Krishna's talking about on the level of the soul. Is that, yes, we can perform these, but what reactions are we getting? Only that which is material beneficial to the gross and subtle body, not the soul. So the fourth level takes you above that. That's why he says, do your work, that third level, without attachment. That brings you to the fourth level. And then we'll see as he goes on, then in later chapters, he'll describe the fifth level of pure consciousness, of love for God. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.